This episode of Country Squire Radio is brought to you by Missouri Meerschaum. We thank them for their support of this show, and we thank you for supporting them.
You're listening to Country Squire Radio.
Welcome to Country Squire Radio. This is Bo, and today we've got something very special for you. As we've mentioned on previous episodes, there's been an event that has been scheduled for the Country Squire with Eric Stokeby, literal pipe royalty, making his way to Jackson, Mississippi, to the Country Squire. And John David had an opportunity during the event to sit down with Eric and talk about talk about his family, his legacy, his work, his career, the pipe industry as a whole. And it's a really, really fantastic conversation. We're excited to bring that to you this week. It is a little bit of a shorter episode, as you probably also noticed as well, because it is this very special interview, but we're really proud of it. And we think y'all are going to really enjoy it. As many of you noticed, Ida did quite a number, not just on the Mississippi Gulf Coast and the surrounding areas, but also really just kind of carving its way through the country as a whole. There was some concern early on about the Country Squire being in Jackson, Mississippi. And fortunately, we can report that everything is fine, that there was some concern about some flooding, especially proximity of the shop to some of the rivers in the local area. But regardless, many of you have written in, and I just wanted to let y'all know we are fine. I'm fine here in Houston. John David is fine in Jackson. But a lot of people were severely impacted by Ida. So y'all just be praying for your neighbors around the country who are still recovering from that. And the shop still stands and is okay. But I did want to put some folks' mind at ease about that who had written in. Y'all, before kicking it over to the interview, I want to first let y'all know that, of course, this podcast is made possible by those of you supporting us at patreon.com/CountrySquireRadio. If you would like to join the Country Squire Radio International Pipe Club, that is the place to do it. Recently, we just had a whole mess of approvals. Mess, by the way, is in the South, that's a good thing. We had a whole mess of approvals that came through from new club members and club members who have been patiently waiting to get into the Squire Lounge Facebook group. So welcome. If that's been you, if you've been waiting, chances are you now have access. So congratulations and welcome there. And again, for those of you who would like to join the club and help support the show, head over to patreon.com/CountrySquireRadio. All right. That is, I think, all the housekeeping items. It is time for me to kick it over to John David in Jackson with the one, the only, the man himself, Eric Stokeby.
All right. I am here tonight with pipe tobacco royalty, although he might not admit it himself. And it is Eric Stokeby, the creator and creative mind behind fourth generation tobaccos and pipes. And just so happy to be here tonight with Eric and at a great event here at the Country Squire. Eric, welcome.
Thank you very much. I really appreciate being here.
Yeah. It's great. Just so glad you came. We had a great turnout tonight and sold a bunch of pipes and got some fourth generation pipes and some other brands here, Chacombe, Nording, and Escorti, and some great fourth generation tobaccos, and it's just been really good. If anyone's listening and they are pipe people, because most people that listen to Country Squire Radio are pipe people, they've probably heard the name Stokeby before, and so Eric Stokeby, welcome to the show. We're so glad you're here. Tell us about Eric Stokeby. What's your story? How'd you get into this, huh?
Well, thanks, John David. I appreciate being here, and it's been my life, to be honest about it.
Quite literally.
Yes, it has. I remember when I was about 8 years old. I'm dating myself, but that's when people used to work on Saturdays in factories and so forth. And my dad used to take me to my grandfather's factory in Odense, Denmark, and where I used to help out. And it was really kind of a cool old-fashioned factory with a retail store in the front and then the factory in the back, four stories. And each story had a production of their own. They had pipe tobacco on the bottom floor, and then they had some cigar making on the second floor, and then Oliver Twist, I don't know if you, some of you guys...
Oh, yeah. Yeah,
Oliver. Chew tobacco, that was on the third floor, and then the fourth floor was packaging material and so forth. So I used to carry boxes up and down these different floors and just kind of help out. So like I said, I was probably about 8 years, 9 years old when I did that, and then yeah, you know, now I'm an old man, so
you wear it very well, Eric. You wear it very well.
So it's been my life. My first time in the U.S., I was 17 years old. My dad sent me over to learn about leaf tobacco, and I spent a year in North Carolina, Tennessee, and Kentucky. Went to grading school, learned about leaf tobacco, and came back and started working in the factory. And yeah, it's been a good life, and I really enjoyed the relationships with people like John David here, and just it's a good industry. It's a small industry, but it's a good industry. Good people to be around with, and some years ago, I had the opportunity to maybe try out something else, but, you know, I came back to what I know and what I love, so yeah. It's been good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's wonderful, man. Well, I mean, you know, Stokeby obviously is a name that is synonymous with quality pipe tobacco. It's your pedigree. It's your legacy. I'm buddies with your son, which we've talked about earlier tonight, and love Max, who is kind of carrying the name on as well. But you know, fourth generation. I mean, that's why we're here tonight. We're celebrating the fourth generation of you know, Stokeby, you know, pipe tobacco influence and legacy. We've sold some beautiful, you know, Stokeby briars tonight, some fourth generation briars and fourth generation tobaccos that are very high quality tin tobaccos and bulk tobaccos. And it's just been a lot of fun. And you know, it's products that, you know, a shop like ours can believe in and feel good about, you know, passing on to our friends and everything. So tell me, how did fourth generation kind of get started? I think you've been at this now 10 years or so, and it's been quite a journey. Fourth generation is as an idea, as a concept. Give us kind of the background of that.
Well, you know, I moved, my wife and I and our family, Max and our daughter Anna, we moved here in 2000. I was working with STG, Scandinavian Tobacco Company, and we came over, and I was supposed to come over on a two-year contract, but, you know, 20 years later. And I worked with them for, you know, 5 or 6 years, and then some other companies after that. And then in about 2011, I decided with an advertising company I worked with that said, you know, you should try something on your own. And we came up with the name Fourth Generation because the family has been in the tobacco business for four generations. And there was this good clinging name. And so I decided to kind of venture out on my own. And it just went from there. And it's really kind of a tribute to, you know, fourth generations being in the tobacco business, which is, I think, a little bit rare these days.
It definitely is.
so, you know, and as I said before, you know, I really like the industry. It's been my life. It was my father's life and my grandfather's life and great-grandfather. So, you know, kind of a tribute to old-timers like us loving the industry, the tobacco, pipe tobacco, and industry. So, you know, it's been a good ride, you know. Yeah. So we've had a lot of fun and lots of ups and downs, but, you know, that's life. And it's been good, and a lot of traveling, a lot of meeting people, and you know, just super fun. So
no, it's great. I mean, it reconnects you with obviously your family legacy, but also, you know, your experience from your childhood and that kind of stuff, which is really, really special. But you started out with pipe tobacco, right? And then kind of ventured into pipes after that. Kind of talk about that, you know, what led to some of those things and, you know, who you're working with on some of those products and stuff. I think our folks would be interested to know about that.
Yeah. Yes, pipe tobacco. You know, when I started working with my dad back in 1987, and even before then, you know, pipe tobacco was, you know, it was a good, good, strong business. And my dad always had a lot of exports, and exports to the United States was big. So, so I grew fond of pipe tobacco. And, you know, one of the things that my dad said when I was 16 years old and I asked him whether I could smoke, he says, yeah, that's fine as long as you can smoke a pipe. So, you know, it's been part of my life for a long time. And, you know, when I started the line, Fourth Generation, you know, I thought about it and I said, you know, we should have some pipes with this. And I met up with Peter Nerup at a store in Alabama, Birmingham, Alabama. And we decided to make a line under the Fourth Generation name. And
So you actually met at the Briary. The Briary in Birmingham, Alabama. And that's kind of, that was the genesis of this concept?
Yes, of the concept for the pipes, yes. And my idea was really to have a go-to brand, if you will, of not only tobacco, which is my forte, but also pipes and accessories and so forth. So a full line that, you know, spoke to pipe smokers. And that was my thought behind this whole brand, you know, to have something kind of a go-to for the pipe smoker.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Yeah. Oh, that's great. And, you know, since then, it's developed, obviously, you know, you've developed a full line of tinned pipe tobaccos, which you've got a few partners in, Mac Barron, the Scandinavian Tobacco Group, that are helping you produce those. But then also, you know, Petter Jeppesen with Nerup and now Eric Nording as well, and some folks that are helping you produce the pipes that are all very high quality. We've sold several tonight that are very lovely pieces. And so, you know, what's that like for you as, you know, the fourth generation of a long family legacy? You know, what does that feel like for you to be in an industry that is, you know, carrying on that family name in a way that, you know, so many of us don't really get to experience? You know, can you kind of talk to that a little bit?
Well, you know, it's actually a little bit of an honor, if you will, to be having been in the industry for so long and for so many years. It's I feel very strongly about having the relationships with not only the pipe makers that I deal with, but also the pipe tobacco makers. And, you know, it's good to know that when you walk into the door of a pipe maker like Peter or Petter, or a Scandinavian Tobacco Company's factory that I've, you know, worked with for many years, that, you know, they just welcome you in and says, you know, what can we help you out with? And it's just, it's all about relationships. And it's yeah. good to know that you have these relationships for so many years. I feel very good about that. So, you know, it's pretty solid. So, you know, it's good to have a reputation that you can do that. And, you know, and I feel extremely good about that. So it's been a good ride.
Tell me what your father was like.
Well, my father was the ultimate salesman, I think. he could sell sand in the Sahara. He was a great person. We worked together for many years before he passed away, and we had a really strong relationship. We didn't always agree on everything that we worked on, But for the most part, and he was very outgoing. He had a strong presence whenever he walked into a room, and it was a good long time relationship. And you know, I still miss him these days, although it's almost 20 years since he passed. He was a good man. He really created his own name with the Peter Stogeby Tobaccos in this country on his own, and did very well at it. And he did it by visiting stores and by visiting people, and you know, went out there and created his own name. So it was he was a good man, and he really enjoyed it as well. You know, he really had the passion for it. So that was good to see. You know, and. Yeah, like I said, I still miss him these days. But we had a good time together. So, yeah.
That's great. You talk about this person that's, you know, created his own name in the industry, even though having these legacy connections that were there and the incredible products that have come from literally over 100 years. But I'm sitting in front of a very soft-spoken man who has kind of done the same thing.
Yeah, maybe. I mean, I think, you know, I learned from my dad. I learned a lot of things, and that is that, you know, if you want to create something, you got to go out there and meet some people and shake some hands.
Yeah.
And that's one thing I learned from him. I'm glad what I've done, and it's been a good ride, and it's been fun.
Yeah.
It really has.
Yeah.
And I have a big passion for it as well. So
that's great.
Yeah. And it's good to see my son is in it as well. And
he's all right.
He's all right. So I hope that he'll continue, you know, being in the business. You know, I hear a lot of good things about it when I visit stores. So yeah. It's good.
No, Max is a good friend and a good personal friend, someone that I've been able to connect with. It's neat in this industry, which is already tight-knit and full of good people, but when you meet someone that you just connect with on a personal level, so we're very thankful for that. And matter of fact, he was picking on me this week because I had an event with you, and he was like, when are you going to bring me in? You're bringing Dad in, but you're not bringing me in. It's really great. What memories do you have, Eric, about your grandfather?
You know, my grandfather was more of a cigar man than anything else. Him and my grandmother, they moved to, my grandfather was working for a Dutch company, and he was sent out to Indonesia, where he was a plantation manager, tobacco plantation, mostly cigar tobaccos there at that time, and I think still is. So he really learned more about cigars, and when he had his factory, it was really more cigars fixated or oriented, he, you know, developed several brands and made cigars for Churchill, Winston Churchill, and so he was definitely more of a cigar man. He smoked a pipe once in a while, but more of a cigar man, and
that's great.
Yeah. He, you know, and that was the times in the 40s and early 50s. You know, cigars were big in those days, so still are, but, you know, particularly at that time, I think. He was an interesting character. I remember as a kid, you know, I came to their apartment in this town, Odense, and he told me about his experiences in Indonesia, where his next door neighbor was like a cannibal, and you know, it was pretty crazy. It was pretty wild to learn about. He had snake skin, you know, and all kinds of artifacts from Indonesia, and you know, back in the 1960s, you know, it was pretty crazy. My grandmother made Indonesian rice tafel food, which, you know, fried bananas. You just didn't get that those days in Denmark.
Yeah.
So it was crazy. But you
don't get that in Mississippi today. Yeah.
So good people, you know, good memories. He was a collector of all kinds of things, paintings and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. Very interesting man, yeah, and a good cigar man.
That's great. That's great.
Jumping in real quick to tell you about the sponsor for this week's show, Missouri Meerschaum. Of course, you know our friends at Missouri Meerschaum have been doing some amazing work with their quality corncob pipes that offer a great quality smoke every single time. But now, with Old Dominion, they've gone beyond the cob and now have quality clay pipes as well. They've also offered hardwood for quite some time. And you know, one of the things that I love about Missouri Meerschaum is their classic trio pipe set. It comes with a beautiful little burlap-looking bag. It's got a hardwood pipe, a clay pipe, and a corncob pipe from Missouri Meerschaum. It's the great set to get yourself a variety of pipes you may not already have in your collection. Be sure to pick up a classic trio pipe set from our good friends at Missouri Meerschaum at corncobpipe.com. Again, that's corncobpipe.com. The classic trio pipe set. And if you've got one, you know, when you unbox that thing, be sure to take a picture of it, tweet it out to folks. It's a great way to let the good folks at Missouri Meerschaum know you appreciate them for sponsoring this show.
Well, I mean, premium tobacco, all premium tobacco is welcome here at the Country Squire and on Country Squire Radio. And of course, we have a healthy veneration for people like Winston Churchill and others. Tell me about the current state of, you know, fourth generation tobacco and pipes. Your company, obviously, you create some beautiful pieces that have been. I wouldn't say the super high end of premium pipes, but the higher end of the, you know, they're really good pipes, especially for the price. You know, tell me about kind of what your working model is. What are you trying to provide? What hole are you trying to fill with fourth generation pipes? Where do you see the brand going from here?
Well, I think that, you know, I strive for good, really good quality. I think that's important. For the pipes, I know Peter very well, and, you know, I know he makes top quality pipes. And for me, it was important to have pipes that are really, top end, because...
kind of live up to the name, really.
Yeah.
Maybe you won't say it, but I'll say it.
Right. But, you know, I think, I know you can buy a pipe, you know, a corn cup or whatever, a basket pipe for $30, $40, $50 or whatever. And I think that's fine. It's a good way. But, you know, if you go ahead and spend the money first time, you know, I know that with the fourth generation pipes, you're going to get a good pipe. You know, I remember Petra sending me samples initially, and I mean, I still smoke these pipes, 12 years going, and they're just good quality pipes. And the saying is, you know, you get what you pay for, and I think that's important. So, I like good quality, and think that's important to me, and that's, I think, important to the brand. So.
And still providing it at a reasonable price, which is, you know, so valuable to the pipe smoker, who is traditionally relatively frugal and loves to, make sure they're getting good value for their investment. Tell me about the Father's Day pipes that you guys came out with recently.
Right, so we've done that actually for 3 years. So we have one shape in a sandblast.
It's one shape per year, is that right?
Yeah, one shape per year and a sandblast and a smooth, and we change it every year. And it's Chacom in France who makes making it for 3 years now. And we have these events every year around Father's Day, and that's when we launch them, and been doing really well with them. You know, they're very good pipes and good pricing, good value. And, you know, I think that's something we want to go forward with and continue the next many years. Yeah. So, yeah.
They're really sharp. I mean, just this year's pipe is a poker. Mm-hmm. It has just a real elegant shape to it, with kind of a funky ferrule around the end of the shank, and it's just a fun pipe, very approachable. It's something that you might give as a Father's Day gift, but also might buy for yourself on Father's Day.
Yeah, exactly.
Just something that's a lot of fun. You know, a lot of your shapes are that you produce, though, are Danish inspired. You know, you've got those kind of acorns and you know, bent apples and whatnot that have this kind of fun. They're approachable, they're recognizable, but they're also, they just have that Danish flair that's very very fun. You think people kind of resonate with the unique unique shapes that you produce?
I think so. You know, I think I tried to make or have better make shapes that are a little bit unusual. You know, the bands are different. They're made of bronze instead of silver. You know,
the bronze bands are very handsome. They look great.
I think they're really cool. So we try to make something that's a little bit different. Each model is stamped with the birth year of one of the fourth generations, you know, along with the tobacco. So it's something that you know, makes them stand out a little bit and being a little bit different than from other pipes. Mm-hmm. So, mm-hmm. You know, so that's kind of unique to me.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Great pipes, great tobaccos. What's next for fourth generation?
That's a good question. I think
the fifth generation,
the fifth, yeah, maybe, I don't know. But I think, you know, we'll continue to develop new models on the pipe side and some new tobaccos. We just came out with three new bulk tobaccos, loose tobaccos,
which are really good. I saw the tobaccos come out, the bulk tobaccos, and they looked intriguing and delicious, obviously, and you know, with that you know, type of quality behind it, you expected, you know, something good. But tried a couple of them tonight and was very pleased with them. So, I mean, very, very, very pleased with that.
Yeah, I think they're good. And, so, you know, I'm always looking to find different things, new things. You know, we raffled away our latest accessory tonight, which is a backpack and leather.
You know, and we didn't even talk about that tonight, which could be a whole different episode, but like that your accessories that you've come up with, that you've partnered with some very prestigious manufacturers to produce, they're some of the best pipe accessories on the market, frankly. I mean, they're you should be proud of them. They're beautiful.
Well, thank you. I think it's, you know, it's a lot of fun. I mean, that's, you know, I didn't say that before, but I spent, you know, almost 10 years in advertising when we lived in New York City, my wife and I, in the 80s. And, you know, I think it's fun to develop new products. I think that's really a big part of my passion. And I try to do something that's creative and different, and you know, hopefully something the pipe smokers will like. And so that's really the fun part, I think, and something that's a little bit unique, something that stands out, something that's different. So yeah.
There's a leather bag in the Country Squire currently sitting 25 feet away from where I am right now that I'm probably going to go home with tonight. Because it's just beautiful, and man, there's so many neat accessories that you've come out with over the past several years, and it just all fits the brand very well. It all works together very well. So I know you're proud of it, and you should be. It's very good. So Eric, thanks for coming, man. Thank you for coming down here to the Dirty South and being coming to the Country Squire and hanging out with us. And any parting words for our audience?
Well, thanks for inviting me, first of all. And it's been good. What a great group you have here. I mean, just a solid customer base of great pipe smokers and really interesting guys to talk to. I was one gentleman. He shared me a lot of the history about Mississippi. And, you know, this is what's part of the fun of traveling and being. And you learn a lot about, you know, different history, different states, and different people, and I think that's the fun part. So it's been great, and thanks for having me.
Did you ever think a little boy from Denmark would wind up in a crazy place like Mississippi? Selling pipes, yeah.
You never know.
No, that's great.
You never know, yeah. But it's been fun.
Well, thank you so much, man. We're glad you came, and hope you have a good trip back home.
Thank you. Thanks.
Y'all, thank y'all so much for tuning in this week. If you would like to keep up with the show, you can do so. At Squire Radio is the handle on Twitter. You can also find the shop at _ Country Squire or John David at John David Cole. You can find all that information and more at CountrySquireRadio.com. Like I mentioned at the top of the show, it's a little bit of a shorter episode this week, but that's okay. We've actually got a little bit of a pretty packed episode for you next week, as you're going to find out pretty soon. We've got some exciting things to share with you down the line, including, I'm going to wait till next week. I'm going to wait till next week. We've got something really exciting to share with you coming in early October, but more on that in the future. For now, hey, let's go have a day. Thank you.